You read first in Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59. Behold, Jehovah's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he doth not hear. And verse 16. And he saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor, and his arm brought him salvation, and his righteousness, it sustained him. And now in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, Luke 16 and verse 19. Now there was a rich man, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen, making good cheer in splendor every day. And there was a poor man by name Lazarus, who was laid at his gateway full of sores, and desiring to be filled with the crumbs which fell from the table of the rich man. But the dogs also coming licked his sores. And it came to pass that the poor man died, and that he was carried away by the angels into the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, lifting up his eyes and being in torments, he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he crying out said, Father Abraham, have compassion on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering in this flame. And Abraham said, Child, recollect, thou hast fully received thy good things in thy lifetime, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted here, and thou art in suffering. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm is fixed, so that those who desire to pass hence to you cannot, nor do they who desire to cross from there pass over unto us. So on. I've read of two situations of distance, one of which could be removed tonight for any individual who would come the divinely appointed way of salvation, and the other which can never, ever be removed. The scripture in Luke 16 is one of the most sobering scriptures. The Lord himself draws the curtain aside into a period of what happens after death, when there is no possibility of that distance being removed. But tonight there is an opportunity for all who would hear the gospel to lay hold of God's offer in the glad tidings of a Saviour in the Lord Jesus. The gospel, the theme of the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's well-beloved Son, who came here, who was found here in figure as a man, who walked this earth healing those he came in contact with, but all the time going to Calvary's cross, that he might there bear the judgment of God against sin, the sins that you and I had committed, in order that we might be redeemed to a holy and righteous God. And so it's important that we realize the urgency of the moment, that our sinnership has brought in distance between ourselves and God. What happened in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve showed that distance had come in, that God could no longer commune with man because he disobeyed God and had fallen under sin. And that sin has passed upon all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us have come into this situation of being at a distance from God. But you know, the blessed God desires to bring us into communion with himself. And he has provided the way through the Lord Jesus Christ that it is possible. And so one simple desire tonight in the few minutes we have together, that you would consider where you stand in the sight of a holy and righteous God, and that you would have desire to come to know the Saviour that he has provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the scripture in Isaiah, it's almost as if the prophet has been challenged about God not hearing and not acting in relation to the condition that the people of God were in. But he says, you know, Jehovah's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Oh, what a thing that is. He can save tonight. He has power to save tonight. And he can do so righteously through the precious finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his ear, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. You know, we have to accept the distance that has come in. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. We have to accept what has happened through the incoming of sin. This is a holy and righteous God that cannot have sin in his presence, that cannot behold sin, and desires that you should be free from that burden of sin. You know, think of the Saviour as he moved here. That was not an ear that was heavy that it could not hear. Think of him hearing the cry of a blind beggar in Jericho. Son of David, have mercy on me. The creator of the universe stood still at the cry of a helpless blind beggar. He will stand still tonight at the any cry for help. Any true desire for blessing from your heart will be answered tonight by the Saviour. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. But you need to accept where you stand. You need to accept your sinnership before a holy and righteous God and come to trust in the one who bore your sins in his body on the tree. What a Saviour Jesus is, you know. It's remarkable what it goes on to say here, that he saw that there was no man and he wondered that there was no intercessor. This is the blessed God, the prophet speaking about God. He saw that there was no man, there was no one could intercede for the lost condition that had come in, you know. There was no Moses who could stand in the breach. There was no one able to stand and be an intercessor. Job, you know, he called for a referee or a daysman, a mediator. What does Paul say? The mediator between God and men, one, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Oh, do you know the Saviour? Do you know the mediator? Do you know the one who stood in the breach? The one who bore God's judgment against the sins that you and I had committed, in order that God may have a righteous basis to come out in blessing towards you and I as sinners. And so it goes on to say, and his arm brought him salvation. That's the same arm that's not shortened that it cannot save. God has acted from his own side. He knows your lost condition. He knows that you can't save yourself. But thank God there's a Saviour for the lost. I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's my Saviour speaking, you know. He came to secure that which was lost to God through sin, and that it might be redeemed and brought back. You know, think of the parable of him going after the lost sheep in Luke until he find it. You know, none of the ransomed, as the hymn writer could say, ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark the night that the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. What a thing it is to be found by Jesus. What a thing it is to be recovered, to be brought back. Paul could speak to the Ephesians and reminding them that they were once afar off, but they had been brought nigh by the blood of Jesus. Dear friends, that's what it took to bring us back, that this distance might be removed, that the blood of Jesus Christ had to be shed, you know. Again, the hymn writer could say, when describing the Lord Jesus on the cross, thou didst measure then sin's distance. Think of the darkness that came in at that time. Think of what the Lord Jesus went through. Every step of the distance that man was away from God was covered then in these 3 hours of darkness at Calvary's cross. You know what the Saviour has done? He has done righteously. There has been a righteous basis laid so that you can be redeemed to God, that you can be brought back, that this distance that has come in between you and God because of your sins can be removed tonight if you'll put your faith and trust in the one who went to Calvary's cross. His right arm brought him salvation. That refers to what Christ has done. God has provided one. God has provided a lamb, you know. Abraham said to Isaac, God will provide himself with a lamb. That's what he's done in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, judgment must come in upon those who remain sin in their sins. And the Lord says that. If you die in your sins, you'll be raised in your sins. But you know, God has brought in judgment for those who refuse Christ. But he's provided a way that persons tonight can escape that judgment. That's the goodness of the God that I know, the God that I trust, the God that has saved me. That he's not only brought in judgment that he must do because of his faithfulness and his righteousness and his holiness, but he has provided a way that persons can avoid that judgment through putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I would urge you tonight to listen to what God is saying in the glad tidings. You may never have another opportunity. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. This is the day of salvation. This is the day when it's possible to be reconciled to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't put it off for 1 minute longer, but come just as you are in all your need. You know, the man, the publican, he wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven, but he said, "Oh God, have compassion on me, the sinner." He went down to his house justified. Why? Because he accepted what he was before a holy and righteous God. It's very simple, you know. There's nothing complicated about it. Just come tonight. Come as you are, you know. Another hymn writer could say, "Jesus, take me as I am." He will take you as you are. He'll take you if you come in repentance and accept that you are a sinner and need a Saviour. You know, that's why Jesus came. He is the Saviour. He is the Redeemer. He's the one who's offered to you tonight in the glad tidings. I can't speak about tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow will bring for any one of us. And that's the sobering thing, you know, about Luke 16. No one knows what lies ahead, immediately ahead. Everybody knows the day of their birth, but nobody knows the day of their death. Why will you not come tonight, accept Jesus as your Saviour? He's no longer in death. He went into death in order to break its power as he came out triumphant. The power of death has been broken, you know. But in order to break it, my Saviour had to come under its power. But he comes out of death triumphant. Peter says it was impossible that he could be held by its power. Why? Because he was sinless. He was absolutely sinless. A man like no other man, a life like no other life, laid down in death for me and for all who would trust in him. But he comes out of death triumphant, and he's a living, glorious Saviour, alive to die no more, and he's coming again. But you know, the coming of Jesus for those who love him will mean the end of the gospel, the end of the glad tidings, and no more opportunity to come and accept Christ as Saviour. That's why it's urgent that we come, that we that we address the situation tonight. You know, doing nothing is not one of the options. We have to accept where we are and come by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the way of blessing is to lay hold of what God is offering in the glad tidings tonight and not to put it off. Satan would like to snatch the word away, to tell you to put it off until next week. Satan's only interest in you, dear friend, is to keep you away from God. His only interest in man is to destroy him. And you know, man will find himself in a Christless eternity, will find himself in hell, which was prepared for the devil and his angels, if he does not accept Christ as Saviour. And that's the sobering thing about Luke 16, you know. My father once witnessed to someone, and the man said, "But no one's ever come back to tell us." And he referred him to Luke 16, you know. What a sobering scripture that is. Lazarus, the poor man, I think it's the only man that is ever referred to by name in one of the parables of the Lord Jesus. But you know, everyone who comes to Christ, their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be erased. And you know, whatever blessing you come into, material blessing, whatever you achieve in life, whatever your goals are and whether you achieve them or not, there is no greater blessing than to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written there in these pages bright and fair? Is your name written in the Book of Life? You know, Lazarus' name was written in the Book of Life. He's on the line of faith. He was carried into the bosom of Abraham. Typically, he was a believer in the Lord Jesus. That's what he was. And it says of the rich man that he also died and was buried. What a sad end. He died and was buried. But you know, death is not the end. The scripture says that after death, the judgment, that's after death. Satan would tell you that death is the end. I can assure you death is not the end. But death is the end of the opportunity for you to be saved, for you to come to Christ. This man woke up in Hades. This is the Lord Jesus speaking, you know. People like to deny the existence of hell, but no one spoke more about it than the Lord Jesus himself. There is assuredly a hell. This man woke up in Hades, which is the place that those who refuse the glad tidings will find themselves at the point of death. Awaiting resurrection, yes, resurrection for judgment. Let us understand that such is my Saviour's victory over death, that no person will remain in death eternally. Persons of their ashes scattered over the North Sea or whatever it may be, in the hope of defying God. But every single person will be brought out of death. Those who love the Lord Jesus to resurrection of life, to be with him eternally. And those who've refused Christ for judgment to be cast into the lake of fire. Well, this man found himself in a dreadful situation where he was suffering. And he looks up and he sees Abraham. But there's a great chasm fixed. You know, there's no possibility of crossing over. But the man was able to remember. Abram says to him, "Recollect." Think of that. Think of being able to remember that you sat under a gospel preaching and had the opportunity to accept Christ as a Saviour and never did it. Dear friend, this is so urgent that your response to the glad tidings tonight will be registered in heaven. And it may be taken as your last answer. You may never have another opportunity to come to Christ. That's why it's so urgent. This man was told to recollect. He could remember what had happened in his life and how he lived his life without a thought of God, you know. There's another man earlier in Luke 12, it's worth looking up. A man, a rich farmer, whose land brought forth abundantly. And he said to his soul, "Repose thyself, eat, drink, and be merry." You think of the fact that that man had no basis whatever to oppose himself because he had no link with God. He said he would pull down his granaries and build greater and enjoy life for the good things that he had, the material things. But God spoke to him that night and said, "Fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee, and who shall be what thou hast prepared?" That was a man who had no link with God, who had no link with the Saviour, and who was facing death. What a prospect. None of us know, as I've said, how long any one of us may have. Death comes to old and young alike, but the opportunity is now to accept Christ as a Saviour. The distance that stands between you and God can be removed completely tonight by coming to the one who bore your sins in his body on the tree. Think of that. Think of how Peter had such an impression of the precious blood of Jesus, knowing that ye have been redeemed not by corruptible things such as silver or gold, but by precious blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus, you know. What power there is to cleanse the sinner tonight. You, as coming under the shelter of that precious shed blood that John took account of on the cross, that blood that was shed for all who would trust in him tonight, that blood whose cleansing power can clear you in the sight of a holy and righteous God and remove that distance that has come in, that you can be reconciled to God. Oh, think of the Lord Jesus in Matthew, the end of Matthew 11. "Come unto me, all you who labour and are burdened, and I will give you rest." Think of the world tonight. Think of those who are labouring and burdened, those who are frightful, fearful of death because of all that's proceeding in the world. Well, the invitation is to come to Christ. Come, life alone is found in Jesus. Only there 'tis offered thee. Oh, come to the cross tonight. Come and take account of the one who was there, who suffered there, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Oh, that distance can be removed tonight. But you know, if you're called to meet God, if you're called to be taken tonight to face death, where will you stand? Where will you stand, you know? Think of that man in Luke 12. "This night thy soul shall be required of thee." We can't speak of tomorrow. The opportunity is now. May you come and accept Christ as your Saviour before it's too late. The situation in Luke 16 shows that there comes a time when that distance cannot be removed, when it cannot be crossed. And death, has been often reminded, is an arrest in view of the final assizes. Dear friend, I assure you, death is not the end. After death, the judgment. May you come to Christ tonight before it's too late. May you accept him as a personal Saviour and come into the most wonderful blessing that divine love could devise. Remember the scripture, I leave you with it, in John 3:16. Perhaps one of the most well-known scriptures in the entire Bible. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have life eternal. Doing nothing is not an option, because if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are lost and you will perish. Oh, dear friend, I urge you tonight, accept Christ as your Saviour and come into this blessing. May the Lord bless the world for his name's sake.